This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a talk with a woman from Western Illinois who's helping build the rule of law in Kosovo, a newly independent former part of Yugoslavia. We'll also get a forecast coming up with meteorologist Scott Altog. First, today's news. An overturned and leaking tanker truck caused traffic problems on Champaign's far northwest outskirts this morning. State police had closed the westbound lanes of Interstate 74 just west of I-57 for the morning. Police say a tanker was trying to avoid a semi-truck making a U-turn on 74 when it overturned before 3:30. The tanker was carrying a mild corrosive material that State Police Sergeant Bill Emery says is more an environment issue than an immediate danger. Emery says experts were diking the chemical with dirt. The tanker driver had to be extricated and was taken to a hospital. The semi-driver faces charges. People in eastern and southeast Illinois have another month to apply for federal disaster relief. So far, FEMA has given out nearly $3 million in direct aid, with more in low-interest loans to businesses, as well as some homeowners who suffered damage or displacement from last month's severe storms and flooding. The disaster declaration also includes many counties along the Mississippi River. Spokesman Gene Romano says anyone in those areas who suffered uninsured damage is eligible, and it's best not to underestimate your eligibility.
We'll be happy to talk with you. It only takes about 20 minutes or so for the phone call. You're not taking anything away from your neighbor. This isn't welfare. This is your tax dollars specifically set aside for disaster assistance.
The disaster declaration includes many counties along Illinois' eastern border from Douglas County south into the Wabash Valley. The state is also making emergency food stamps available in those counties. Supporters of a statewide construction program are making another push to get the plan called for a vote in the Illinois House, perhaps as early as today as the House meets for a special session. Sean Crawford reports.
With House lawmakers returning to Springfield for a special session this week, those who say it's time to address Illinois' infrastructure needs want the matter to be a priority. The ongoing feud between Governor Rod Blagojevich and House Speaker Mike Madigan has sidelined a construction plan. Most view Madigan as having no desire to give his fellow Democrat Blagojevich billions of dollars to dole out for projects. But those who helped put the latest plan together, including former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert, say those differences should be put aside for the good of the state.
We shouldn't have holdups. This should go beyond personalities. It should go beyond personal spats, because this is the taxpayers' money. I think folks need to get over it.
Hastert says along with creating jobs, the package would improve mass transit, schools, and boost Chicago's bid for the Olympic Games. Hastert says Illinois will lose federal funds unless the General Assembly approves a construction plan, although Madigan's camp questions that claim. The latest proposal would also rely on expanded gambling, including new casinos and slot machines at racetracks to help pay for it. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois' Department of Corrections has not yet filed details regarding the possible closure of the state prison at Pontiac. Three Republican senators say that means Governor Blagojevich's administration broke the law, and they're calling on the Attorney General to investigate. Senator Dan Rutherford represents Pontiac Correctional Center. He says the paperwork that DOC was supposed to have filed with a legislative commission is important because it helps lawmakers determine the effect that closing the facility would have.
To just say you're going to shutter down a completely good correctional center when we're at 135% capacity doesn't make sense. And that's the reason we have a law that says, okay, administration, you have to file this kind of information. So all of it becomes public and everybody can look at it and we can analyze it and say, okay, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense.
Rutherford says the Attorney General's opinion could have an impact on more than just Pontiac, as it's the first test of the state law that outlines a process for closing state facilities. The General Assembly passed it a few years ago after Blagojevich tried to close or sell several state properties. A spokesman for the Department of Corrections says it did file paperwork asking for an extension, which was granted. In a letter to the commission, the DOC's director says closing Pontiac is still a possibility, as the state budget is not finalized. Champaign City Council will eventually vote on a plan to provide disadvantaged businesses with an equal opportunity in city contracting. At last night's study session, the council directed staff to finalize a proposal for the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program. It would help minority contractors fill out the necessary paperwork to bid on a contract and would aid the city in keeping a database of DBE businesses. Councilmember Michael Ledoux says the program is crucial to Champaign because the U.S. Department of Transportation requires the program in order for a city to get federal funding for transportation projects.
It is an effort to promote a wider and deeper search for minority contractors to work on projects that involve federal funding.
The program will rely on existing city staff and will not require any additional city funding. It'll get a full council vote as early as next week. The mayor of Monticello says he'll continue to research the idea of allowing golf carts on city streets. This comes despite the city council's rejection of a proposed ordinance Monday night. Mayor Bill Mitz says he's heard arguments on both sides. Those who support the notion say using electric carts would cut down on the cost of gas, but Mitz says others have rejected the idea, citing safety concerns. He says some areas would be addressed by state regulation or those that are adopted locally.
And he said, what about who could drive it? He said, I wouldn't think that you'd have some kid tooling around. I said, no, most of the ordinance indicate that there has to be a licensed driver. So that took care of his issue. And the other one was in terms of liability insurance. I suspect that we could probably put that within the ordinance.
The state allows the carts to be used on streets where the speed limit is 30 miles an hour or less. Carts have to be able to drive at least 20 miles an hour, have headlights, brake lights, and a windshield. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The United States is part of a project to strengthen and improve the rule of law in Kosovo, and one of the people involved in it is from Western Illinois. Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger has her story.
Martha Hesla was a court administrator before she came to Macomb a few years ago. She's also a former Peace Corps member and enjoys working in other countries. She sent her resume to the National Center for State Courts years ago and was surprised when the organization eventually contacted her about working on rule of law projects. Hesla says the situation in Kosovo is a bit different than other places trying to establish a set of laws.
They have a lot of laws, because they go back to the old canon of Dukagjini, which is very draconian. And then after that, there was, of course, the Yugoslavian law was overlaid. And then beyond that, you know, since Milosevic, well, since the communists have left power, they've had their own set of laws, and now the United Nations has sovereignty in the country, and so there's UN rules. So it's kind of a mishmash of laws. The court system hasn't really been updated since probably 1950s. And so a lot of what we're trying to do in my part of the project is get the courts to operate more efficiently and more transparently so that there's less opportunity for corruption. Other parts of our project are actually working on drafting the Constitution and drafting the laws, new laws for the country.
And perhaps trying to condense down all these different types of laws?
Yeah, harmonize them is what we call it. Make sure that they're not competing with each other, at least, which they sometimes are.
Now, before you went to Kosovo, you spent some time in Africa. Is that correct?
That's correct. Before I went to Kosovo, I worked in Liberia with another rule of law project.
And how did things work out there?
I think Liberia's actually made enormous progress. It was very fun. The courts were less open to assistance than the Ministry of Justice. So mostly I worked with the Ministry of Justice helping to get the agencies that enforce public safety better organized and more willing to tackle the job that they had to do. They have made great progress. They built on the work that we started when I was there, and I, you know, sort of keep up with them. It looks like they're really making good progress.
And did you go right from Liberia to Kosovo?
I did. This is the first time I've been back in the U.S. in a year and a half.
And you're heading right back to Kosovo now. What will you be working on in the coming weeks?
I'll still be working on the rule of law project. I'll be going out and meeting with the courts and making sure that they're following their plans. The way we work is we worked with the individual courts to develop action plans for improvement. And then we'll continue to work with them to make sure that they're meeting their goals. Our objective is to make sure that this is their project, not a U.S. project, that they really own it so that after we leave, they will continue to work in the same way. There are some techniques that we can help them with and that we are helping them with to, like, overcome delays in case processing. So we'll be setting up meetings with the courts, the prosecutors, the police, and other agencies that are involved in criminal justice particularly to make sure that, like, summons get served and people actually show up for court. That's been a real stumbling block for them.
Yeah. Has that been the biggest challenge you faced, or has something else really been tough to deal with?
Oh, the hardest part is learning Albanian. I don't speak any Albanian, so of course, everywhere I go, I have to go with an interpreter. And, you know, sometimes the interpreters are first and foremost Kosovars. So if it's something that's really negative or bad being said, they just don't translate it for me. So half the time I'm functioning from a position of ignorance, and that to me is just, because I'm a real talkative person, it drives me crazy.
Why would you tell people in America to pay attention to what's going on in Kosovo? Why do you think this should be important to the U.S.?
I think that it really is important. I think the Eastern European countries are important because they've historically been such an area of instability. And the potential is there for further instability, really. Some of those underlying problems haven't been resolved. It's important that the world keeps engaged in the Balkans to make sure that they stay stable.
Martha Hesla of Macomb is working on the Rule of Law project in Kosovo. Hesla says it's a beautiful but troubled part of the world. She's concerned it'll be a long time before Kosovo is ready to stand on its own. Rich Egger reporting.
The weather picture is improving quite nicely after lots of heavy rainfall yesterday in much of Illinois and Indiana. Our meteorologist Scott Olthoff says in northern and central sections of the two states it'll be mostly sunny and less humid. Southern sections will see clouds and periods of showers and thunderstorms still this morning, then becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. Highs will range from 82 in the north to 86 south, 85 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, partly cloudy, some patchy fog in places. Lows from 60 in the north to 66 in the south. Champaign-Urbana's low 63. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny and less humid. The highs from 83 north to 88 south. Looking ahead, tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Champaign-Urbana's low 65. Sunny, hot, and humid for Friday with a high of 91. Maybe some showers and thunderstorms on Saturday with a high of 86. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, July 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.